Over the last decade, a whole new type of fashion company has exploded on the scene. Brands built on VC dollars and massive Facebook ad budgets. Think Stitch Fix and Everlane. They all have their own unique message, whether it's convenience or being socially conscious. Or sometimes it's just that they have the right kind of cool. Today's founder thinks he can cut through the noise with an even newer trend, custom fit. Ray Lee's company sells clothing made to order just for you. But can he convince our investors that his technology is good enough for Scene Studio to have its own moment on the fashion startup runway? From Gimlet, this is The Pitch. I'm Josh Muccio. Let's meet today's investors.
I'm Elizabeth Yin.
Elizabeth is a managing partner at Hustle Fund, and so far, she's invested $30 million in over 250 startups. One example, a company called NerdWallet.
I'm Charles Hudson.
Charles started Precursor Ventures, where he's invested $45 million in over 100 startups to date.
I'm Sheel Manat.
Sheel has sold three startups for over $50 million. Now he's an angel, invested in several companies worth billions today.
I'm David Goldberg.
David is a general partner at Corigen Ventures, where they've invested $38 million in over 50 companies so far.
I'm Maya Bittner.
Maya built two financial startups and sold them both. Now she's out looking for new startups for Sequoia, one of the biggest VC firms in the Valley. The pitch for Scene Studio is coming up in just a moment. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Hi. I'm Ray.
Ray.
Flew in from LA last night.
Maya, welcome.
Nice to meet you.
Sheel. Ray steps into the pitch room looking pretty fly by LA startup founder standards. A dark gray blazer, and he's repping his own brand, a pair of custom fit jeans.
So my name is Ray Lee, and I'm the founder and CEO of Scene. But before I get into our strategy, our technology, our traction, and how we're already killing it, I want you to take a quiz. So underneath your seats, you're going to find iPads.
Ooh.
So why don't we pull those out?
We get to keep these, right?
If you open it, it should be
questions
on a screen.
All right, here we go. First question is, how tall are you? I won't answer that for the audience.
That's a depressing first question.
Ooh, question for everyone here. What's my build? Pear? Rhomboid?
You're not a pear.
My midsection. Well, two kids later. It's a little rough. My bra size. Did you guys get these questions?
I did not. No. Which is good.
A question that both men and women got is, let's talk about your tush. Which best describes your butt shape? Your options, with pictures, are normal seat, prominent seat, flat seat, and drop seat. I'm pretty sure that last one's a euphemism, not sure for what exactly. The company takes the answers to these questions and runs them through their special algorithm to get a custom fit.
Now, the quiz isn't just concept, and our host, Josh Muccio, is here to prove it. So,
ooh, Josh. Very exciting.
What's up, guys?
Whoa.
Hi. Thanks, Josh.
I've already taken the same quiz as the investors a few weeks back, and now I'm here to model Ray's flex tech suit for the investors. I was a little nervous. Never walked a runway before.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Top button.
Top button, sir.
Okay. Ooh. How's the comfort level?
It looks
comfortable, actually.
It does look comfortable.
Yeah.
I thought the suit fit well. Not perfect, like a tailored suit, but better than off the rack. So I'd probably send it back to the company for some slight alterations.
What we're looking at is an athleisure suit.
Yes.
Then, after soaking up my moment in the spotlight, I stepped out to let Ray have it back.
And so suits was our first product. Our strategy is really a flagship strategy where there's the lifestyle brand at the top, Scene, which is all about fit, personalization. And then underneath it, we have a series of flagship products. So the FlexTech suit was the first one. And then in October, we launched our Evergene, which is custom jean made with premium stretch denim. For the last 7 consecutive months, we've been growing at 60% month over month. We're at a 1.6 million run rate, and that's bootstrapped to date.
Cool.
And we're here today to raise $725,000, and that's to pour gasoline on the fire.
Cool. Hmm. When you say custom, I know there's a few different models there, yeah. Right? Do you have a certain number of iterations and it's best fit? Are you actually custom manufacturing?
So ours is actually truly custom. It's bespoke down to the level of the reason you're getting the butt question is it's factored into the curvature of the waistband.
Well, it's actually pretty amazing that from that relatively short quiz that we did that really didn't have that, like I didn't have to measure anything mm-hmm. that you're able to come up with something as custom as what Josh walked in with. How is that even possible? I would be actually yeah. kind of nervous as a consumer to fill that out thinking like obviously it's going to mm-hmm. be slightly off mm-hmm. when it comes back.
Now, what's interesting about a quiz is actually if we can overlay a bunch of different pieces of data together, we can actually get really close to what you want. So if I know your height and your weight and your chest measurement, I can get to about 95% accuracy on the rest of your body measurements, right?
Interesting.
And then if we overlay more information, so if we start to matrix together your what you typically wear for jeans and what you typically wear for tops, we can get really, really close.
Do you allow returns or exchanges?
So we have this thing called a 60-day guarantee, free alterations, remakes, exchanges, and returns. I think the most important indicator about whether people are happy is return rate. Because yep. typically in apparel, it's the worst return rate for both online and brick and mortar, right? It's a little above 30%. Our return rate for online orders is sub 6%.
My husband and I have ordered custom clothes. And actually, the biggest surprise, at least for me personally, is that they are all pretty terrible at fit, like even though it's custom. And I think that is fundamentally a problem and why you then end up having to go to a store because the fit is not actually good enough. So I think this is where my top question is, and I think this is what I am trying to get comfort around.
Yeah. So traditionally, the way it's done is custom clothiers, they're only capturing body measurements, but then the factories are interpreting the measurements to generate a fit. In our case, we're actually generating the technical pattern. We have 3 factories, and so it goes to them, that's laser cut, hand assembled, then it's shipped to us. Right now we fulfill, and that's sent to the customer. So right now the lead time is about 2.5 weeks, and then we think within 2 years we can get it down to about 5 to 7 days from order to delivery. So that's the goal. The goal is you take a quiz anywhere in the world, and then in 5 to 7 days you get something that's totally custom to you at no risk.
So cool. You have no inventory?
We have no inventory.
It works. He can make a suit out of a quiz and people will buy it. And with no inventory, that means Ray can scale up quickly without a lot of capital. They've been growing 60% over the last several months and they're already profitable. But to get to the next level, the investors want to know, can Scene actually compete with some of the biggest brands in the biz?
So your customers today, where are they shopping for clothes? Before your product?
Yeah. So on the suit side, the FlexX suit, you know, they're shopping at Lululemon, Ministry of Supply, Rhone, for some of the, in theory, some Bonobos. Yeah.
Is your price point about the same?
Our price point is less. So our custom suit, the FlexX suit, is $595, and that comes with all the free alterations, remakes, exchanges, and returns. On the denim side, we originally thought we were going to price lower, but we found that the threshold to buy was actually higher than what we thought. So we priced at $185. Rag & Bone, 7 for All Mankind, those are all $200 to $300 products.
So first of all, I want to congratulate you. I mean, to get to completely bootstrapped, get a product to market, get to a 7-figure run rate. That's certainly praiseworthy. To give a little bit more color, so before I came to the venture world, I mm-hmm. built a company in men's accessories, and we partnered with over 20 different custom suit makers. Mm-hmm. And what we found is a lot of great brands out there, but mm-hmm. when you're talking about a product that's, I don't know, $500, $700, mm-hmm. maybe even $1,000, mm-hmm. that little extra convenience mm-hmm. of being able to fill out a survey in someone's home didn't overcome either the lack of trust or really the lack of quality when mm-hmm. it came to fit. Mm-hmm. So when you look at companies like Bonobos, Indochine, mm-hmm. Black Lapel, mm-hmm. they wind up creating some form of brick and mortar guide shop yeah. to really get that person a little bit more comfortable and over the edge. What are you doing differently, or how do you think about scaling and be able to maintain both that quality but with this fully distributed model?
Traditionally, whether it's Indochino or one of these other custom shops, you can't return the product. The other thing is, most people don't shop that way. Most people want to say, that looks awesome, get me that.
Yeah.
And if I just have to answer a few questions to get there, great. And you make the brand pretty sick. And the products have to be great. I think that's another thing, is the products have to be distinctive and valuable, even if they were standard size. And then you delight them with the fact that it's much better than something off the rack that they bought.
Even with the custom angle here, how do you compete against the consumer's desire to want everything today? Everyone's used to everything coming in 48 hours. What have you found in terms of overcoming that barrier with customers?
So I think there's... ultimately, we do want to get to a point, and we think we can get there in about 2 years, where it can feel very similar to ordering anything else standard size online. Now, in terms of how we compete, we've tended to focus flagship products at this stage on things where fit matters. So even for jeans, actually, especially for women, it's very hard to find that standard size.
Yeah, I've been looking for this for on the jean side.
Awesome. And I think people have spent years looking for the perfect jean, and some people still haven't found it. So the idea that, okay, I only have to wait 2 to 3 weeks to get something that's exactly what I want is super compelling.
Even though the investors are like, yeah, I get the problem. I need to find jeans that actually fit. They aren't sure how Ray is going to build a massive company on that. Will the quiz really be enough to set them apart? That's after the break. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on this show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company. It's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. Ray has made the case that he has a good company. It's even made some profit, but he hasn't made the case that it's a company worth investing in. Here's David.
I'm still struggling with like the main value proposition here around the smart fit technology.
Sure.
I feel like I've seen dozens of brands with these types of quizzes around fit.
Sure.
I don't think there's anything novel enough in the underlying fit technology to build the whole base of the company around that. And I don't think that will scale to be a multi-$100 million technology platform. I would actually consider going even heavier on brand and leveraging the smart fit technology as part of the convenience, as part of the match of the materials that you use in the certain customer base, and think about really diving into that brand and trying to build something that could easily be a $100 million brand.
I would say that my background before this was doing sort of global rebrands for consumer product companies and tech companies. So I think for us, we do feel like just within the products that we do ourselves, it's a $100 million opportunity.
I'm so torn because at the stage that I invest, the thing I always say, like, the entrepreneur is what matters most. And I really like you as a founder. You've had like continually good answers to everything we threw at you. I think I struggle with how big the opportunity could be. And then I think ultimately I'm struggling with, is this a brand or is this a like technology? And again, to David's point, I think like the brand is probably more interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to pass.
Okay.
So I think you're super impressive. And I've like been wrestling with this one. But I think ultimately for me, it's a pass. Mostly because I think the market is huge, but it's really fragmented. And I keep coming back to myself and saying, gosh, like of the companies I've seen that are sort of your ilk, what has it taken to get to a really large outcome? And it's gigantic product catalogs. I think about Bonobos, Everlane, some of the companies I've seen that have achieved like pretty healthy run rates, different model, but it just feels to me like the number of shots that you'll have to hit in a row to get to the size of company that makes sense for me, it's a difficult lift.
Thank you.
So I'm really, really interested in how your technology might shepherd in this revolution of custom clothing. And when I think about the brand, I'm sure there's an audience. I'm sure it's cool. I don't really invest in fashion, kind of like CPG directly very much.
So are you saying you shouldn't do it because that's not what you invest in? Or are you saying...
I'm saying it's hard to be venture scale.
Okay.
Maya, Charles, and Sheil are out because they just don't see it as a massively scalable endeavor. Now, Elizabeth, however, has a different concern.
I think you should go after the brand opportunity because I think that's where the money is made. When you think about it, like the holy grail in the custom clothes space is to get basically a universal sizing data mm-hmm. set on people. Mm-hmm. And once you have that for all these individuals, you can pretty much sell them anything.
I'm wondering if I communicated this incorrectly because the intent is to build the brand.
Yeah.
I think the technology and the supply chain are competitive advantages to cut through the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And they're an enabler. They're not the reason, you know, we exist.
And I think I've never seen a company where those things are so tightly coupled, like the technology powers the brand. So I always tend to think of it as an either or, not an and. And like the way you just said it made me think, oh, maybe during the pitch, I had the wrong conceptualization of the tension between the two. Because I was thinking, oh, if you're so great at supply chain, like just like dominate the supply chain. Build the company.
I actually disagree. I've seen this before. And I think to give context, we're investors in a company called The Inside, which is, at the end of the day, they're a furniture brand, a custom furniture brand. Mm-hmm. They leverage supply chain advantages, but at the end of the day, they know they're a brand and everything built around it is a brand. And that's where I wanted to hear it double down. And I get also, you talk to investors who want, you know, multiple billions or bust. Right. Nobody likes brands anymore and that changes by the month.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
I would just say like, whatever, I'm not here to tell an entrepreneur which way they should run their business. I could say when it aligns with my vision or not. In this case, it doesn't. I would say go with whatever is authentic to you and go hard on it and double down on it.
I think a reason we talked about the tech too is it is actually part of the brand narrative. So like when we talk about our mission, it's to empower people of all shapes and sizes to feel their best. And now we can use what we're doing to create something that's really special and beautiful and personal for people. It's not like we have this secret tech platform thing here and then we have this shiny brand here. It's like this is...
So I hear you. And just to push back and to make you kind of think about the pitch and the brand.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's many attributes that go into a brand. Clearly, fit and sizing is one of the integral ones for you. I didn't hear any other layers. There was nothing really about the materials, which are actually unique, I think, to your business. Mm-hmm. There was really nothing about who your customer was, where they're maybe coming from. So I, if it really is about brand, you're going to want to peel that back a little bit more.
So here's where I'm landing on this. I would want to try out the product, like, for, you know, from soup to nuts, give you guys some business, and would love to look at this, you know, as a potential investment in January.
I'm sure we can work something out. Let's talk and figure something out.
Me, I'm in that boat too.
Yep. It's great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
During the pitch, the investors unanimously told Ray to build his company around his brand, rather than around the company technology. After the pitch, however, the investors zeroed in on how difficult it would be to actually succeed as a brand. They were like, hey man, your already profitable company could one day become a really big brand. Oh, and one other thing, market forces are going to make it close to impossible to become a really big brand. Good luck, brah.
The word fragmentation was used at one point, and you're just never going to be able to make everybody happy. Some people want that in-store experience, get measured by hand. Others want the technology of body scanning. Others want to just try on a bunch of stuff and see what works for them. And then the majority of people are actually happy with the standard sizing systems.
Particularly for the price point, they're happy enough.
Right.
Yeah. For me, like, I'm a like shorter guy. I like never found clothes that fit. And then when Uniqlo came to America, I was like, oh, this just fits me.
You found your brand.
And now literally everything I own is from Uniqlo. This pants, this shirt, like everything.
And I know a lot of people who buy most of their clothing from Everlane.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, same. Yeah.
Same thing. It's like, they're like, you know, I like it. It works
for me.
It fits
in a very specific way.
Yep. It's like my style.
When we come back, we hear from Ray, who ended up striking out with our investors and every other venture capitalist he pitched, and yet somehow scrounged up $500K anyway, from a different kind of investor, real, working class, salt of the earth Americans. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community. So you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. I called Ray to follow up 2 months after he left the pitch room with a good old goose egg.
Hey, how are you, Ray?
Hey, Josh, doing well.
He told me that putting his company in the box of either tech or brand is to miss the point entirely. But he couldn't get that across to investors, and that's why the pitch failed.
There was this funny moment, Josh, where you know, I felt like I was giving, you know, spot-on answers for everything people were asking. And then it came to the time where everyone was done with questions. I thought I nailed it. Then they said, well, I don't know if you're a tech or a brand. And then they all started passing.
Huh.
It was sort of like, I thought we were at the end of, you know, like a road trip. And then they said, well, you know, at the beginning of the road trip, you didn't talk about your brand. It's like, what?
Yeah. The one person in the room who seemed like they may have interest, that they wanted to like try out the clothes and see how the whole process works and how it actually fit, was Elizabeth. Did you follow up with her afterwards?
Yeah. We were raising our round through Seed Invest, which is a equity crowdfunding platform. And so there are certain dates we have to hold to from an SEC regulation standpoint. So we knew we had to be quick. So we emailed her immediately afterward. We sent her the paperwork in advance so she could see it. And then
the investing paperwork.
Exactly. And then she came back and said, you know, unfortunately, there are certain terms in here that, you know, I already don't agree with. And also, I don't have enough time for legal counsel to review this. So unfortunately, this is going to be a pass.
Oh, no. Now, because this is equity crowdfunding, part of the fundraise is for very small checks from unaccredited investors. In other words, regular people. Elizabeth didn't want to be regular. She normally writes checks for $25K, but the agreement said that you have to invest at least $50K in order to be an institutional investor and get access to company financials and other information. Elizabeth didn't care for that.
And why did you set it up that way?
It was actually Seed Invest drafted all the legal paperwork for us, so we were using their boilerplate documents.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. We wish we could have had her, really liked her, but I was very happy that Sheil ended up investing.
Wait. Sheil invested?
Yeah, Sheil invested.
I didn't even think he was going to follow up with you afterwards.
Oh, Sheil and I had like an hour and a half call the next day. He really got what we were doing, and then he wanted to go through the experience. We made a suit for him. He basically said, if this fits, I'm going to invest, and then try on a suit. There were some issues with the fit, and so he wanted to just talk through it to feel confident, and then he invested like a very small amount through the crowdfunding platform.
How much did he invest?
He invested $5,000 through the equity crowdfunding platform.
Oh, okay.
Through Seed Invest, yeah.
A little something there.
Yeah, it was like, oh, that's nice, you know.
Yeah. So how much did you raise in total, and what's the final tally?
Yeah, so we raised $500,000. All the VCs passed and all the angels and customers came in. So it's not like we didn't try to raise VC. Yeah. And so I think we're just walking a path that is a little bit different. Like money is not the most valuable thing for us because we're fine with money. I think getting smart people to take dedicated time to look at our business, huge. And to know that Sheil will be on board for a longer period of time, we're not really in it for the checks. We're in it for people who want to spend time with us and give us their brain. So yeah, 100% worth it.
Speaking of walking a different path, I called Ray a couple days ago to see how COVID-19 is affecting him. And first, he told me that he's holed up in his empty co-working space in LA. But then he starts telling me about a conversation he had with their factory in China.
They were saying, hey, would you guys be interested in figuring out a way to manufacture and sell masks? And we said, no, well, we don't want to sell them, but we would love to find a way to work together to manufacture and donate them.
So this is like the on-demand custom clothing manufacturer reached out to you because they wanted to make medical masks.
That's right.
But how are you involved in actually making the masks?
So we're paying for all the production because, you know, we're in a good position financially. We're still able to, like, run our core business. But we also just felt like, you know, there's a responsibility, almost a moral responsibility for those who are in a good position to help and just do our part.
So then Ray sends out an email to all of his customers where he's like, we're going to manufacture and donate masks. Do you know of any medical professionals who need them?
And the crazy thing is this just went viral. We saw this appear in all these random places on the internet and even like random neighborhoods on Nextdoor where they just screenshotted the email and shared it. So this just started as like, hey, let's just deploy some of our capital making masks. But now we have hundreds of inbound requests of just different hospitals where people are saying, we desperately need masks. We are, you know, some people are wearing plastic bags on their face. Doctors are doing this because they just don't have any supplies.
Oh, man.
Technically, you should be really wearing the N95 masks, which are able to protect you much more safely.
These are the ones that have like the seal around the outside.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But given how short supplies are, I mean, people don't even have these, the cloth masks, the FDA cloth masks that we're donating. They're like, please give us those because we're using scarves, we're using, grocery bags, we're recycling old masks. And this is from some of the biggest hospital systems. So it's just crazy.
Not good.
Yeah.
How many masks are you up to at this point?
Oh gosh, I think it's over 500,000 requests, or like 500,000 masks that people need.
And how much have people donated? How many masks are like paid for?
We're probably at 20 to 30,000 right now.
So not even 10% of the way there.
That's right. As long as people are willing to be generous, we can make a huge dent in the gap in supplies.
If you are able to donate, or if you know any medical professionals in need of masks, you can look in the show notes for details for how to get in touch. Ray says that if enough people donate, their factory can make up to 100,000 masks per day. For their part, Scene will be putting 10% of their revenue for the foreseeable future into making more of those masks. Oh, and if you'd like to take a deep dive into the mask situation to find out what's really going on, check out the episode Science Versus just put out called Coronavirus: Unmasking the Facts. The Pitch is hosted by me, Josh Muccio, produced by Chris Neary and Heather Rogers. We are edited by Sarah Saracen. Theme music by The Musemaker, original compositions from Breakmaster Cylinder, Peter Leonard, So Wiley, and The Musemaker. We're mixed by Enoch Kim. Lisa Muccio coordinated the recording of this pitch, and here's our disclaimer. No offer to invest is being made to or solicited from the listening audience on today's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a new episode in 1 week on Wednesday. See you then. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.